Welcome to Art Ladders, The Creative Climb with Valerie Allen and Armin Merzman. This podcast is focused on interviews, features, and stories about art. It's for artists and art lovers. I'm Val. I'm the abstract artist in the group, joined by Armin, the realist. Welcome to episode 31 of Art Ladders podcast. Hi, I'm Val, and we are going to be talking today about our residency in Maine. We're going to talk you through that with six categories so that you'll feel as if you were almost there with us. We're super excited to cover that. And first, I want to acknowledge our sponsors for the year of our podcast, and they are Golden Apple Studio and Residency. And we want to encourage artists in our listening circle to consider applying for a 2023 residency. So as you listen to this episode, you're going to hear about that as we just returned this week. And we want to send a big thank you out to artist and director Shelley Stevens and Greg Stevens for an awesome residency. You can learn more about this and more by emailing Shelley at snstevens@goldenapplestudio.com. That's snstevens@goldenapplestudio.com. And we encourage you to reach out to her regarding next year. So, Armin, we are going to cover six categories today in this episode, and we're going to start with our day-to-day life there. And I just want to kind of cast a little bit of a setting for our listeners. We met with three other artists from across the country. We had James, Sal, and Barb, who are other participating artists, one a photographer, one a painter, and one a painter and potter, I might add, and a mixed media artist. And we would gather together every day at the end of the day for a wonderful dinner time facilitated by Shelley and Greg. And one of the highlights of that dinner was a focused question that was asked to each artist. And one of those wonderful questions was, what is your painting? What is the painting that you are most passionate about? That took me by surprise. Armin, you knew exactly how to answer.
Well, hello, everybody, by the way. We just got back from this great residency in Maine and getting ready for teaching a class next week in Detroit. It was a wonderful time. Yeah, I did. You know, when you're in the public eye, as we are, you know, we get these questions quite a bit. So they're actually very easy to answer because we talk about these things. And for some people, it might not be. But, you know, when asked about what's your favorite piece, your knee-jerk reaction is the one I'm working on now. Well, the one you're working on now is let me know you like that in 2 weeks, you know. I don't know why you're rolling your eyes, Val.
I'm rolling my eyes because that was my answer.
Oh, okay. So I took it right out of your...
took my answer.
Okay,
I think it's pretty funny.
Is there a hair out of place or, you know, I'm not quite sure how to take that.
No, that's
well,
funny.
You know, it has to stew for a while. How does a piece work for you? You know, you shoot that as for, oh, this is going to be the best piece I ever did, of course, you know, but does it hold true years from now? And I think that's how I answered that.
Piece. That is how you answered it. And what was your answer?
Well, I think the drawing I did of my mom, it's so personal. That
right.
It's hard not to have that your favorite piece. It's one of the few that I own. I did it right after she passed away and spent, you know, 9 months drawing that. So the whole time I'm drawing that, I was involved in our relationship and expressing myself through symbolism, and not even having a good reference of her. And I used myself in the mirror too. I mean, obviously the woman was much better looking than I am, but
true.
Didn't have the eyebrows.
I shouldn't say true.
Oh yeah. Well, you know.
She was prettier than you are.
She was damn prettier than I am.
That's right.
and a soul of gold. But, you know, that's kind of, is that my favorite piece? But why is it my favorite piece?
Well, is that your most passionate piece? That was the question. The one you feel most passionate about, sure, I think that sure rings a bell for that. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of pieces I like maybe better technically. There's pieces I like because it was very popular, won a lot of awards and all that. So there's different pieces that strike me in different way. But if I had to pick one piece out of the 840 some pieces I've done, that one is it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know, like I said, when I was rolling my eyes, and people out there, Armin and I are basically in two different locations right now. So we're rolling our eyes on Zoom, which is really funny. So I was rolling my eyes because when Shelley asked me that question, my immediate response was, I called it my new favorite, the one that I'm starting, the one that I'm working on currently at any point in time is usually the one I'm most passionate about. And I think that's fair, but after listening to Armin's answer, I started thinking about how experiences or relationships can cause you to be very, very passionate about different paintings in your life. And I have to say that if I think that way, paintings that move me on, move me forward, would have been, and I don't know if you remember it, Armin, but it was a painting called Night Cypress.
Oh, yeah.
It was a landscape.
It's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, landscape-based acrylic painting, mixed media, lots of collage in it. And it was upon a return from Greece.
Ah, the Greece
trip. The Greek trip, which we talked about in depth. anyway, but I had recently met Armin. And so it had a lot of symbolism. And it had two cypress, stylized, very stylized landscape, with two cypress starting at the beginning of a mountain and then two night cypress at the top of the mountain. And I felt like it was the beginning of a climb of a relationship, which it did end up being. And I'm very partial to that painting. So now that I've had time to reflect, that is my most passionate painting to date.
To date. Yeah, and that's what you look for. You know, there's going to be lots of jewels coming up, and you have to keep thinking about that.
That's correct.
Change in your outlook and how society and everything reflects in you. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to create something and then see how that looks to you in a year from now, 2 years from now.
That's right. Another question that Shelley asked that's not so much art related and maybe a little bit of a lighter feel to it, but she asked all of us if we could live in one city for 1 year without any regards to financial, any sort of limits, what city would that be? And Armin, I honestly can't remember your answer last week on that.
Shetland was my answer.
Oh, Shetland, the Shetland Islands. That's right.
Then I started thinking, if money is no, why not go to Switzerland and live it up? But the quietness of Shetland and it's just haunting. And I've never been there. But from the television shows we've watched, it's a lot. And it's just someplace that draws me for some reason. Iceland does, all those kinds of places.
Yeah.
I have no desire to go to Paris for a year and all this kind of stuff. I would not mind going for a week or two, but not for a year.
Okay. And I picked Hamburg, Germany. And when I was in Germany and in Hamburg just for a brief time a few years ago, I felt kinship to the Germans, and obviously I do because I married one, but Hamburg was such an artistic city. The artists there were so hospitable and took Patty Brady and I on tours all through the city. We taught a workshop there, and it was just so fun to be caught up in the art world and art suppliers of that city. And the city had a historical side. There was, you know, it was near a lake, and it was also very importantly on the, what sea would that be? The North Sea?
North Sea. Yeah.
And so we would take ferry rides through the harbor, and all of these international cargo ships and freighters would be in there. I found it a very, very cosmopolitan city, very walkable, which is important to me, and just a interesting. Plus, it's only about a 2-hour train trip from Berlin, another favorite city. So I picked Hamburg, and I'm going to stick with that answer.
Yeah, and after I get done with being lonely in Shetland, I'll join you in Hamburg.
You join me in Hamburg.
Yeah, there we go.
I love it. So, the interaction with the other three artists. When you're in a residency, there is a definite feeling of respect toward artists. And a lot of that can be considered as the etiquette in which you approach the other artists. So we learned quickly the personalities of each one, right, Armin?
We did.
And I found that myself, I really appreciated when an artist would ask permission to come into my studio and to say, may I look at your work? Because as you know from past episodes, I'm the type of artist that really doesn't reach out for feedback unless I ask for it. I don't really respond well.
I found that out the hard way,
folks. to advice given just out
keep
of the
my
blue.
Mouth shut unless asked.
Out of the blue. So any little quirky artist respect issues did you run into?
Well, my setup was a little bit different. I was going to work in the studio next to yours,
right?
Studio building.
Uh-oh.
But I was in the writer's studio because I was just drawing.
And not just drawing. It's just that drawing isn't messy like painting.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean by getting all the paint, getting all that. It was just me in there. And it was in our place where we stayed, which was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
As it went on, it was even more important. I had that little place for reasons that I'll explain later. I wasn't able to do my plan of drawing for 2 weeks, but the second week being very experimental, and that didn't happen. I'll explain that later why it didn't happen.
Yeah. So there's different things, but this group, we all kind of understood each other. There was even one artist who would paint through the night. So actually that freed up studio time for the other artist during the day. So it all worked out. And I found each one of them so helpful and entertaining and fun to be with. So
yeah, we had some great discussions. And you become very close to artists in a residency very quickly.
It's almost like a
summer. How often do you have the kinship of other artists that you sit at dinner with and talk art?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody comes from a different place. Everybody has a different signature or language of work. Like you said, Sal would start after dinner and go back to her cottage at 6 in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. She did.
And she did that the whole time there. So she wouldn't be there at breakfast, obviously, and not lunch. And other people worked more during the day. James was fascinating because he's an amazing photographer, and how he planned for and studied for going to a particular place. The tides had a lot to do with. He studied the tides, the lighting, the light, the potential. And, it was just so much a cross between creativity and science that amazed me about his MO.
Yes. And then Barb, the painter, mixed media artist, had a lot of illustration background in her history. And she's also a ceramicist. So it was fun for me to watch how her paintings became very sculptural, like her ceramics that she would show us. So we're going to actually do an episode with the three of them later this year so you can hear firsthand. And I'm going to put their names and last names and websites in the show notes this time so you can start becoming familiar with them. So look forward to that. And we're going to move on to our second category, which is our actual art making. And I want to touch with you, Armin, on the influences of that environment. How did you pick up on the environment?
Well, with the exception for one drawing I did and my photography, the environment of Maine happened more intuitively. It became part of my spirit, just being there and looking at nature. But I wasn't about to go and draw the ocean or things like that. But it gave me a different kind of feeling, a different way to think than in the studio here. It's a completely different place. It's quiet, for one thing. Downright majestic. The Golden Residency proper, you can just be there and not even go anywhere else in Maine, and you could stay there for years and see something new every day.
Oh, you sure?
I tried to take a walk. I did a lot of iPhone photography, and there was place every day. So the spirit of Maine was in every stroke I did in my drawing.
Oh, that is so true. And I feel for myself, the influence of the environment, it did come across more literally in my work than I believe in your work, except for your one piece that you did literally from the location.
My photography too.
Oh yeah. And your photography. Yeah. So, but I kind of soaked it in as you did, and we're going to talk a little bit about visiting other art, Maine artists in the meantime, but I just gravitated and could not get enough of the color red. And you people that follow me on Instagram and Facebook could see lots of paintings that were predominantly red. And I don't know if I got caught up with the lobster phase of red or the other artists in Maine painting with red, but that color just popped through in everything I did. So environment can go different ways.
We barely got into Maine, maybe about a mile. You wanted to get a lobster right then and there.
That night, I had
you
a lobster.
This monstrosity red lobster. And I always said, you know, I don't like lobster. And you gave me a little piece. I was right. I don't like
it. People don't believe it because I will convert him. I recently converted Armin to avocados. So now I'm going to convert you to lobster. Oh,
well, I wish you the best of luck with that one.
Oh. So yeah, on a typical day for me, well, this is funny, but our cabin in the trees, I'm going to call it, the little treehouse, had a full kitchen. We were lucky. So I would make a little breakfast, and then Armin would usually go down and talk to the artists at the breakfast table. I would meander down, oh my gosh, I guess around 11, right before lunch, and start in the studio. But I did a lot of walking during my studio day. I did a lot of relaxing, which is allowed at a residency for sure.
You drove around quite a bit because
I drove around.
The nearest grocery store was 45 minutes one way.
Oh, that's true. There was a lot of driving.
And you saw a lot of things like that.
I would take those little adventures. I do love to drive around by myself and just find little villages. So I did a lot of that. But your typical flow was much more organized, which doesn't surprise me because you would.
That's the way we roll, right? I mean, you know, I try to be organized, and even with packing and stuff. But, you know, I always pack stuff that I won't use. I'll probably continue to do that.
Yeah.
You know? But I was pretty happy with that. Yeah, I am. I like to start at a certain time. And it got to a point where you would go to bed. And my studio is right next to the bedroom. And I put on my headphones and listen to music and draw. And that's always a beautiful time for me.
Oh, you had such a good time. And I had a good time just going to bed early and listening to the waves lapping on the shore, or the, you know, the lobster boats going out. Oh my God, the sounds and the rain on the window. Loved it all. We did have an opportunity to take a gallery visit trip, one full day. And I have to say that was such a wonderful experience. And we started that day by visiting Winter Harbor, Maine, and a gallery called Littlefield Gallery. And that gallery was what I consider a dream gallery. The reason I say that, the owners, Kelly and Jane Littlefield, live and work right there at their gallery. They have a kind of a historical home with an addition added of a gallery space. And so their home has been turned into basically a gallery with a gallery annex that is just beautiful. And they had two artists on exhibit there, Daniel Anselmi, I'm going to put show notes, and Robert Pullian, a two-person exhibition. Mm-hmm. And we walked into that gallery annex and my jaws dropped. Absolutely beautiful. Your first impression, Armin?
Well, being a former curator, Midland Center for the Arts, and being in the museum business for a long time, when I first get into a place like that, I just look at the layout, the way it's done. And it was perfectly, you know, it was beautifully laid out, not too much. And it made so much sense to put a show together like that and really think about that. A lot of times you don't in different galleries. I was impressed by that. But the work just was fascinating to me. Daniel's work, in a way, I'm playing with that with photo montage right now. And he did things like that with montage. And I stared at those pieces for a long, long time. They were so influential and so beautiful and abstract, yet it had a lot of recall of what I think Maine is, colors. I really, really enjoyed both of their works.
You know, Daniel, this is crazy. I first heard about Daniel, I don't know if you remember this, Armin, but Sally Hurst mentioned Daniel Anselmi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But she said we should follow him on Instagram. This was way back on her episode. So I did follow him. And when I walked in, I went, it didn't hit me right at first, but then I went, wait a minute. I'm familiar with these works. I follow him on Instagram, and they are definitely speaking my language too. And they're abstract works, but they are directly inspired by the environment of Maine. And they're based on the rust and the lichen and the fog of that atmosphere. And he did these during a residency that he served at Monhegan Residency, a very, very prestigious residency in Maine, given to only two artists every year. So he did that in 2013. But I highly encourage you to follow him on Instagram. His work is very, lots to do with negative space, very peaceful collage work, just right up my alley. And I'm sure it's up a lot of other alleys as well. And Robert Pullian speaks to our plein air artists. And I know when I was looking at his landscapes of Maine, they were so relevant.
Yes, they were.
They weren't superficial at all. They were down to earth. They were in a very monochromatic values, very, very strong shapes, which played beautifully with Daniel's work.
And he simplified the shapes a lot.
Yes, both of them simplified shapes.
Both had that. It played off each other in that very much. They were very playful in shapes, yet there was this atmospheric feeling of the place we were, and that's Maine. And,
yes.
Every brush stroke had a specific purpose in his pieces.
Mm-hmm. He is also on Instagram, and I would definitely follow him. So, the atmospheric quality of both of their works. The other thing that was so unique about that gallery was the personalities of the gallery owners. Jane was so conversational. And when you meet Jane, it's as you've known her all your life. Such a welcoming owner of a gallery, which sometimes can be intimidating walking into a gallery, you know, straight off the street. And she just welcomed us with open arms. She had a sense of humor that was beyond compare, and her husband hospitable as well.
Yeah.
And wasn't that a good feeling to walk?
That was
into
a great feeling. You know, you go into different galleries, and as an artist, you feel differently going into a gallery because in the back of your mind is, oh, I wonder if I can get in this gallery. You know, that's right. it's always going to be a part of it. It should be. If you're a good business person as an artist, you got to look at that gallery. If you like that gallery, that's something you might want to think about. So that can be intimidating, but I wasn't intimidated whatsoever. I felt at home in that gallery.
And I saw at home.
And of course, the artwork made a big difference.
So that was a definite highlight. And then that same day, we visited one of the top artists in Maine, Philip Barter. He and his wife, Priscilla, have a home and studio in Maine. And what a unique home and studio they have.
Well, I have to say that experience, that single experience walking into their home, which is a piece of art in itself.
Right.
It was magical. As soon as I walked in there, I was in magic land. His work, his personality, and her personality just overtook everything. It's something I can't even explain unless we do a whole show about it, because it was a threshold into 100 years, you know, of things that they've collected, of things that mean something to them. And his artwork just kind of blew me away because it's so different than anything that I would ever try or not really thought about until you see this.
Right. You know, you walk in the door and you have this smell of, well, chocolate brownies for one thing. And it's this home that started out as a one-room cabiny cottage that they kept adding on to, not just learning how to build at that point. So it was just eclectic, very eclectic. I'll put it that way. And they raised 7 children in this home, and all of their children are very talented. And one is a protege in piano. And then another is an artist, but they raised a very creative family. Priscilla has a twinkle in her eye that can't be beat. She's such a great partner to Philip. And Philip paints nonstop in his outdoor studio with a wood stove. Unbelievable. He switched from oil to acrylic recently. And of course, he's using...
Did you have something to do with that?
I did not have anything to do with that, but he did allow me to take his photo and his golden acrylic supplies. So we had that in common. And I have to say that color red popped up for me in his paintings as well, as we sat in his beautiful gallery in the home, and I could spot all the red paintings that I absolutely adored. So
do you remember the son's name that was the prodigy, the musical prodigy?
I want to say Steve, but I'm going to have to back that up.
We'll put it in our show notes. Yes. But I have to say, they played a piece that he did when he was 8 years old that was the most beautifully composed classical piece I have ever heard. I'm not a big classical fan, so maybe, but I was so moved by that. And I talk a lot about talent sometimes.
Well, Armin?
Yes.
You keep talking. I'm going to go answer the door here. You just keep talking. It's my son running in. Okay, keep talking. Carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, they were talking about their son being a prodigy, and you see this a lot of times. Oh, my kid, he can paint, and yeah, whatever, you know, maybe he'll get over it. No. And I am for talent. I'm like very iffy on talent. You know, maybe that would exist, but a prodigy does exist. And this person, this child, this recording, I could not believe it. And then his work that he does now was just amazing to me. So, and I think that part of that came from the family grouping and from both his mother and father being amazing artists and living in a creative environment. And they had a piano. And I think that rubs off. But that kind of prodigy is just rare, and it's unexplainable, really.
Yeah. And I'm going to double check that his name. I hope I have that right, but it could be James. And if you hear a little background noise out there, my family, my son and daughter-in-law, our son and daughter-in-law just walked in with my little grandbaby, but we're going to keep talking here for just a little bit. So we're going to move on to the triumphs and tribulation, the big deal, things that came out of this for us. One, let's talk a little bit about the obstacle that you hit during the residency, Armin.
Okay, so we went there. That was on a Thursday. We were there a week, and I was riding in a truck with James, and started feeling like a sore throat, things like that. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I hope I don't have COVID." Well, the next morning I had COVID. I tested positive for COVID. I couldn't believe it. You know, I haven't been on a vacation in 5 years, and let alone there. But I have to say that Shelly and Greg were prepared for this kind of thing to happen. It hasn't happened. I had to isolate myself. I couldn't go to those dinners anymore. And but it's not a crying fest. You know, the actual COVID was like a medium cold. I didn't feel that bad. I was tired, but I couldn't go to those dinners anymore. But you know what? I had COVID on the shores of Maine. I was isolated on the shores in Maine. I mean, come on, you feel bad for one day, and we all went through it. But everybody was it changed the dynamic for me a lot, because I couldn't get with the rest of the people and keep having these wonderful conversations. You know, I'd wave at them, and I wore a mask the whole time. Nobody else got the virus, including Val, who decided to stay with me. And I, you know, that shows a lot of love on her part, you know.
Well, I had had it in May, so I felt pretty safe.
But I had the chills like crazy. And, you know, you warned me and you were there for me. And that's just a sign of love. And although you checked yourself 10 times a day for COVID. No, you didn't. I'm kidding. But anyway, that's enough of that. I don't want to get involved in that. But you work your way through it. And I got better and taught a workshop at the end of the residency as well. We all wore masks, but I was no longer contagious. So everything was fine.
Yeah. And, you know, you did teach that workshop. Tell us about that, Armin.
It was kind of a long form introduction into long form drawing into 2 days, and also seeing the abstraction in nature. Now, when you take photos in Maine, you want to take pictures of the ocean and the boats and the sunsets and all those kinds of things. And that's fine. I took a bunch, but I also took a lot of really interesting little micro places that were very abstract. And that's kind of what I talked about with those students, about finding beauty in the small and then taking a lot of time to draw. And we're going to revisit that as a class, in a Zoom class here in about 6 weeks. And wonderful people. Really, it was great to get to know them.
Oh, yeah. They came in. They had lunch. We had lunch as a workshop group every day. And they came in all fired up. And I actually taught a printmaking workshop the same time you were. I had a small group of printmakers. We had a print-a-thon one day. We had a blast. And as you printmakers know, the most exciting part of that is the reveal of the prints coming through this beautiful Richardson full-size press. And we were working in collagraph. So all the textures and all the beautiful colors, you'd see a couple of examples of them on my Instagram account. So I enjoyed teaching there. I hope we get a chance to do that again. I have a feeling we probably will at some point, some year we'll be able to get back there. Now, on our road trip back and our road trip there, I can remember some key magical, just magical moments.
Yeah.
Both there in Maine and on our way. And one of them that comes to mind, actually two come to my mind. One was our wonderful, I'm going to call it happy hour, that you and I would have sitting in the Adirondack chairs looking out at the lobster boats. That was one. But mm-hmm. my number two magical moment took me completely off guard and by surprise. It was on our way home. We were going through the Berkshire Mountains. And all of a sudden, I saw this beautiful railroad bridge and then the road bridge right next to it. You could tell they had lots of history. There was a fog rolling in through the mountains. And I thought, where the heck are we? We're in upstate New York. And then it hit me. I said, could this be the Hudson River? And that has just so much meaning for me, the Hudson River, with the Hudson River Valley School, the whole, you know, the whole landscape thing.
Yeah.
And I'm driving across, and then Armin, I said to you, is this the Hudson River? And you went, it sure is. Wow. That was priceless for me. Just that simple act of crossing a bridge.
Well, it's all filled with the history of our country and how it moved west, the Hudson River. You know, it's such an important place and beautiful. I think my most magical moment on the way home was, well, it was Labor Day and there was nothing open. All the restaurants closed. It was kind of foggy and windy and we just kept going. And finally, I don't even know how we got to this place, but this little restaurant right on Lake Erie. And that Lake Erie, was the waves were tumbling in and they were this deep green.
And they were crashing in.
Oh my gosh. I felt such a oneness with that place. You know, surprisingly for some, I felt more at home with this crashing waves than with the sunshine. But that's kind of how I think. Took a bunch of photos, but just being there, it was such a surprise, you know. So,
It was, you know, and what captured me about the synchronicity of that moment was one of the artists, Sal, at the residency was talking about her historic tour of Route 20. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't visualize that in my head, but sure enough, we were on Route 20.
Yes.
Historic Route 20 going through Northern Ohio. And so that to me had a, you know, a very coincidence feeling to it. But then to run into this little dive bar right on and then literally on the edge of the rocks of Lake Erie, that definitely was a magical moment.
Yeah,
sure was.
And I have to say that even with COVID, we sat in those Adirondack chairs.
Oh, yeah.
And watched the sun, you know, go down and it was just you and me talking, which is kind of the nucleus of this particular podcast. That's kind of how mm-hmm. it became. And we talked about art and our day.
That's right.
Those were magic. There's so many magical moments now. I can hardly just put, you know, put those.
Just magic. Let's face it.
You know, residencies in this, I think that was my fourth residency, are all different and they're all good for a certain kind of thing. This might have been the most relaxing residency I've had.
I would say the same.
I would go back in a minute in the future.
I'll second that.
So,
yeah. Thank you again, Shelley and Greg, for your hospitality. And all you listeners out there, really think about it.
Now, one more thing. I want to bring, what about our works? Do you have, can you talk about the works that came out of it?
Well, I had a series come out of it of small 12-inch by 12-inch paintings. Mm-hmm. Of course, with the red, I have two large 36 by 36. And then I did three or four collagraphs. So for me, that's a lot of productivity in 2 weeks. That's a ton.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so, and your works.
I did three drawings.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I sold there, but I still have an image, and I'll put those on my Facebook page as I get photos of them.
Yeah.
But for me to do three drawings in 2 weeks, and granted, two of them were started, was amazing. But then again, I was isolated there, listening to music and draw.
Yeah. Now we're back in the real world, and we're back in the real world. And I want to give
that place will always live in with us, you know.
That's right. And I'd like to give a little last minute plug out for my Abstraction Now class. That's the 5-week virtual Zoom class that will be starting Wednesday, the 14th. And last minute, I have my early bird pricing going on until tomorrow. Actually, when you hear this podcast, the early bird price will be over. But hey, if you mention that you heard it on the podcast, I will honor that price. So it will start, like I said, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., a nice time for a class, all in the comfort of your own studio. And I will be leading you through the process of creating abstract paintings. So, and you have some plugs for your classes as well, Harmon.
Yeah, I've got actually 5 classes going on. I have the in-person class at Studio 23. It's a master's drawing class. I believe that's full. I teach at the Atelier through Zoom in Detroit. That's an ongoing class. It's an intermediate drawing class. And then I have a class, Iconography, that starts. I have a class called Art Talk, which is great for everybody because you don't have to draw or paint or whatever you want to do. You don't even have to do any physical art. You just want to know more about art. It's an art discussion class. And then I have an intermediate drawing class that starts as well. And just what it sounds like, we meet every other week in these Zoom classes because the timing is right. And Zoom is still popular because I'm teaching people from all over the place. So it's not longer at this point because of COVID. It just turned into something that became a more of a national or international opportunity for me to teach people that want to know my processes and things like that. So sign up. I don't have an early bird special, but sign up anyway.
And you know what? I'm going to let you know that I have 2 free events going on. One in Grosse Pointe Art Association. It'll be a lecture on October 6th, and you'll find that info on goldenpaints.com under Working Artists. And also on that same page, you'll see that I'm giving a free lecture down at that same school that Armin will be teaching, the Atelier School of Art in Detroit. So lots of activities going on. Again, we'll put in the show notes. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us this week. It's been great to kind of relive, isn't it? Relive our residency, Armin.
Great. And Shelly and Greg, thank you so much. You have a beautiful place there and your beautiful people, and for how you handled the whole COVID thing.
Many thanks. I know. That's right. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Here is a PS on this episode. Please refer to our show notes at anchor.fm and search for Art Ladders, The Creative Climb. We've listed the sites of all of the artists mentioned. And also, you'll see links to Matt Barter, the artist son of Philip and Priscilla Barter, and also the Spotify account of Jack Barter, the pianist I mentioned. You'll find them all in our show notes. Thank you for listening. You can find our past and future episodes at anchor.fm, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, Art Ladders, The Creative Climb, with Valerie Allen and Armin Mersman. Special thanks to our producer, Taylor Kramer of Cold Shower Media.
And check out our websites, ValerieAllenArt.com, ArminMersman.com. Stay creative, stay curious, and we'll see you next time.